We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Good evening. How you doing? Well, of course, this week, a lot of controversy involving somebody Trump had dinner with. Actually, two people Trump had dinner with. Nick Fuentes, a guy, I've heard his name. I know a little of what he said. I don't follow him anywhere. All I, you know, heard is, you know, that he's made some comments that I certainly don't agree with regarding race and things like that, and you know, Israel and whatnot. And here's what I'll say. Here's a larger issue. I'm just getting to the point in my life where I'm trying to spend much more time focused on bigger things than chasing these, what's the word I'm looking for? Chasing these rats around, whoever they are. I just can't worry about what everybody else in media is doing. I really don't. If you don't work for me, which he does not and never has, I'm just not spending the time. I don't have the bandwidth for this stuff. But I know they're making a lot of hay. You know, the people who hate Trump are making a lot of hay. And even people in the Republican Party are outraged that he had dinner with this guy, Nick Fuentes, and Kanye West. I don't know why he had dinner with either one of them, frankly. I mean, Kanye, you know, whatever. You know, he's an interesting character, no question about it. Would I want to have dinner with him? No, not really. Neither one of them. So I would just say you got to be careful who you have dinner with, because there is this assumption that if you do, you endorse everything that they believe in. Now, that's not true necessarily, because I've certainly gone to dinner. I remember when my husband and I got married, we went on a cruise. And when you go on a cruise, you know that you are going to have dinner with, you know, unless you're, I guess they have private dinners, but generally you have dinner with the same people every single night, whatever that table is that you're assigned to every single night of the week, okay? So we were sitting at this table with this really, really angry New York liberal who brought up, and all liberals aren't like this, okay? I have plenty of liberal friends, but this was just an angry, nasty guy who should have been on MSNBC. And I made it about 3 days before he figured out what I did for a living, because I just kept my mouth shut. I just want to eat. I just want to eat my dinner. I'm not going to argue politics. I'm on my honeymoon. I don't want to do this. And I don't remember how he figured out what I did. And then it was a war, you know, then, and this is a problem, because when they find out what you do for a living as a talk show host, and there aren't many liberal ones because they just don't succeed for whatever reason, there's always this assumption that you're this, this, and this because you're a talk show host, which is why I don't even tell people at the dog park. I have a group of people I meet with all the time at the park. They don't even know what I do for a living. We've been getting together for about a year now, and they don't know. I've managed to keep it quiet. And the reason for that is because people just judge you. They automatically decide that you're blank, blank, and blank because you talk on the radio for a living. It's crazy. But anyway, this guy was just so angry and nasty. And, you know, so I wouldn't have chosen to have dinner with him, not because he was a liberal, because he was just a nasty guy who couldn't talk about anything else but politics. And he'd come back every day, back to the table, complaining about everything, you know, the weather, where they went, just, you know, whatever. Just a miserable human being. Wasn't a lot of fun. But, you know, you have to be careful who you have dinner with, because, frankly, time is precious. I find that I'm doing a lot less than I used to do. I mean, you know, years ago, I would do all those things. I was doing cable TV hits a couple of times a week, and events, and this and that. And I mean, I wore myself ragged doing all those kinds of things. And I'm just at the point in my life where I'm just doing fewer things that I don't have to do, just because there are other things that interest me more. I'm focusing more in Bible studies and you know, reading more history books. I've always loved to read history, but just taking the time to not spend every waking moment worried about what some crazy person who had dinner with Trump is doing. I just, You know, I know it's a topic. I know. I've seen the stories all week long. I look at the news every day. It's part of my job. And obviously, I'm interested in what's going on. But I can't worry about these people. I just can't. I'm just done with the outrage, the clickbait, all the, oh my gosh, look, he had lunch. Oh my gosh, this guy's this and this and this and this. And by the way, I'm not defending anything he's ever said. But the fact that mainstream media calls you a hater doesn't mean anything. A lot of times, because their definition of hate is you are, I don't know, maybe you believe in traditional marriage. You're a hater now. So the way they define hate is very different from the fact that there's hate now. Are there people who are anti-Semitic? Yes, there are. I don't understand them. I think you're completely wrong if you're anti-Semitic or racist. Absolutely wrong. God doesn't care what color you are. Why should I? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that anybody makes a distinction about race. I don't get it. I wasn't raised that way. I don't understand it. So I don't get these people who, oh, there's a, you know, and I'm not even going to quote some of the Nick Fuentes stuff because what the mainstream media says he said, I don't even know if it's true, and I'm not going to spend the time looking it up. I'm just not, because he doesn't interest me that much. So let's go with the principle, which is what I always prefer to do. If you're somebody who doesn't like the border being overrun, no matter what color the people are, that doesn't make you a racist. We got 200,000 people coming in on the southern border every single, not forget all the people coming in on planes and everything else, coming in through the southern border, 200,000 a month that they catch. That's a problem. I don't care what color they are. That's a problem. So you're not a racist because you don't like our country being overrun with people who shouldn't be here. Unless they come in legally. So like I said, I'm not defending any person. I'm talking about the principle of that, you know, that's just stupid. Oh, you're a hater because you believe in traditional marriage. No, I'm not. I don't hate anybody. But because you believe in traditional marriage, you believe in any kind of biblical principles about anything, you're a hater. That's not true at all. So another thing that bothers me is when they call somebody far right who's got some of these ideas about anti-Semitism or Holocaust deniers or these various people that you hear about. You know, if you're a Holocaust denier, I don't know what to tell you. I truly do not even know what to say to you. I can't help you there. I really can't. I mean, do you really not understand that it actually happened? I mean, I can't imagine anybody being that ignorant, but I know they're out there. So if you're a Holocaust denier, what can you say to these people? But that's not a far right point of view. That's just moronic. It's not far right. Don't call those people far right. They don't deserve to be called anything right. They're wrong and they're anti-Semites. And they've got a problem with Jews for whatever reason, which I do not understand. I don't get it. So I don't like people being called far right because they say some of these things that are just crazy that I wouldn't say. There's some people in the media and my line of work that, you know, they say crazy things that I would never say. I don't give them any time of day. I don't give them any of my brain. I don't follow them. I don't watch them. I don't listen to them. I don't bother with them. And some of the people on the right side of the aisle, not necessarily far right, but, you know, I don't bother with these people. I'm not going to give them my time. And you shouldn't either. You know, when it comes right down to it, life is short. And if you haven't learned that over the last few years and seen all these people who are dropping dead suddenly and all the things that are going on in the world, life is short. And how you spend your time is important. And when I look back on my life, and I'm certainly not old, but I look back on my life and things that I've done in my life, I just think, my gosh, I wasted a lot of time doing this and that and the other. You know, on inconsequential things. There were some girls who used to walk around the park where I would walk my dog every day. And they were about 20 years old. They're Mormon girls, LDS. And just darling girls. I'm not LDS, but they are. And we would always talk about whatever. And they're such sweet girls. And they asked me, she said, one of the girls said, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And I thought, that is a great question. And if you're 20, 25 years old, you ought to talk to somebody who's older than you are and say, what would you tell yourself at 20? I wish I'd thought to ask somebody that. What would you tell yourself at 20? And you know what I said? I had to think of something quick. And my first response was, don't waste your time with inconsequential people and inconsequential activities. Don't waste your time on that. Now, it's hard to know when you're young what's inconsequential. I mean, you don't know if that person you're dating is going to be a complete waste of your time or somebody you might marry. I get it. You don't know. And you have to eliminate these things. And you have to you do jobs that maybe aren't your future. And I did that too. I did a lot of different jobs before I got into talk radio. And I'm glad I did because it gave me a more well-rounded experience in life. I know what it's like to work for tips. I know what it's like to do different kinds of things. And so when I talk about these things, I've actually had experience doing it. And that does help. I'm not sitting in some ivory tower on a microphone, you know, acting like I know what it's like to have a real job. I certainly do. So I think that's important. That's not necessarily a waste of time. But you have to decide what is. And you have to try to discern pretty early in life what's going to waste your time. Which activity should you be spending your time on? You know, building your future, whatever it may be, working and, you know, building your wealth shouldn't be the focus of your life. But obviously, you want to get an education if you can. Although, I just watched a really interesting documentary. Write this down, guys. You can watch it later. Interesting documentary on Amazon Prime last night, which I highly recommend you watch. If you've got kids in college or headed to college or anything like that, let me look it up here real quick. I believe it's called Borrowed Future. Yes, it is. It's called Borrowed Future. Write it down. Borrowed Future. Interesting. All about what's happening with college and the loans that these kids are getting and the amount of money that it costs to go to college. And these kids just sign, you know, Elon Musk has even said that if you went to the bank and asked for $10,000 in cash, you can't get that loan, but they'll give you $100,000 at a college, right? Because these loans are not dischargeable. I mean, think of how much college would cost if the government weren't involved. How much would it really cost if everybody couldn't easily, automatically get a loan for college? And then these kids are $200,000 in debt or something like that. There was a guy they interviewed who's a teacher. He's a teacher and a coach. And I have nothing but respect for teachers and coaches. God bless you. But he was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for a job that pays, what, $48,000 a year? I mean, God bless teachers. But I can see it if you're a neurosurgeon and you're going to pay that money back, hopefully, you know, in 5 years or something like that. But college is such a lie anymore. It is such a lie. I'm not saying you shouldn't go. I'm not saying it's not worth your time. But the amount of money that it costs is ridiculous compared to what you get on the other end. And these are people who, and they talked in this documentary about how, you know, this guy's working two jobs and he and his wife have no money. You know, I'll tell you something else nobody mentioned that I will mention, because I'm always all about the family and culture and that kind of stuff. Something else nobody talks about, how many people cannot stay home with their kids because they have student loan debt? Now, you might say, well, I go to college. I'm not going to sit home after I got a college degree to raise my kids. Well, okay, but what if you want to be home with your kids and you can't because you or your husband or both of you are buried in college debt? It's a huge, huge issue. Trillions of dollars are out there. And, you know, some of these people are going into default all the time, or they're getting grandma to co-sign and then they take grandma's house. I mean, it's a real scandal. And if government weren't involved in it, I guarantee you college would cost a fraction of what it costs now. I mean, my husband and I were talking about this when he got his master's degree. I have to ask him again, but it was a few thousand bucks compared to now. I have a friend who got a master's a few years ago. It was $160,000. Maybe that was for undergrad too. It could have been. I don't know. You know, and here's the thing about the college loan scandal. If you're an average person and you're just an average parent who can't afford to pay $50,000-$60,000 a year for your kid to go to college, and you say, well, I want to give my kid the best. So there's a pressure. I want to give my kid the best. I want my kid to get in the best possible college they can get into. I want my kid to go to Harvard or Yale or this or that. Okay. They might get a better education at a smaller school, but all right, you want your kid to have that ego thing from Yale or whatever because they work so hard to get in there. You know, my nephew went to NYU Stern, okay? Pricey college. My brother was able to pay for it. That's not everybody. My brother's not wealthy, but certainly could afford that, but he planned on it from the time the kid was a baby. You know, if he gets into college, I'm going to pay for it. Okay, great. But if you're an average, let's say you're a lower income or middle income person, your kid gets into this college and you can't pay anything for it. And they may or may not get a degree that ever pays that back. I mean, those are the kids who are stuck. They are stuck for life, completely saddled by this debt. The rich kids, parents pay for it. No problem. No problem. They're the kids. Once again, they're the kids who get the benefits. And I'm not, you know, begrudging that if you had rich parents, but there you go again. The lower income, middle income people are constantly squeezed by everything government does. And then these kids get into college and they might get a degree doing something and they might be happier doing something else. You might be happier being, a welder. You know, you've heard these stories about Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs talking about this kind of thing. And the people who do the trades who get out of high school and start a trade. And if you start adding up the money they make versus the money these kids make after all they're buried in college debt, who's living better? Probably the welder. Telling you right now. Probably the welder. Probably the guy who goes and gets his certification in auto mechanics. Those are the guys who are probably living real well. Because you say, well, they don't make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Well, a lot of them do really well. And they're not paying $1,000 a month in student loan debt that they're never going to pay off. Now, you might have to go to welding school, trade school, whatever, but they're not nearly as expensive. But there's this big push. Let's get every kid into STEM. Every kid. You got to be in STEM. You got to be in science, technology, education, and math. Okay. Got to go to college. Every kid doesn't want to go to college. I don't want to code all day. Can't imagine anything I'd hate more than to sit at a computer all day long and code. I spend enough time at a computer just doing my job, whether I'm talking on the air, whether I'm, you know, looking for stories or researching or whatnot. But I spend enough time there. But to sit there all day in front of a computer, oh, and then you get laid off. Facebook just laid off a ton of people. Twitter just laid off a ton of people. If you look at how many people just in tech have been laid off, just in tech. Okay, let me give you the number here. Just in tech, in America. Oh, let's see. Yeah, let's see. In November, okay, 57,000 people in tech have been laid off. 57,000 people in tech. So there you go. So it's just, I'm not saying college doesn't have value. I'm not saying that at all. If that's what you want to do, you're college bound, you think you can make up that difference, but it is sad to see people completely enslaved by the student debt. But the push is, oh, if you don't do this, you're a loser. Well, I just saw a story today on the New York Times. They were talking about how employers are now not considering whether you have a college degree when they hire people, which makes perfect sense because you're getting all these people who they may be very qualified. A college degree doesn't necessarily, I mean, there are certain things you learn, obviously. And no one can take that away from you. The time that you spend in college can be very, very valuable. I get it. But there are a lot of folks who have the motivation, who have never gone to college, but they're very motivated. And, you know, I've heard a lot of tech people say that when there was one tech guy who came out a few years ago, said the biggest mistake I ever made was going to college because he wasted years of his life. Now, I'm not saying that's true of everybody. Clearly, I'm not saying that. But it could really mess you up for life. Coming up, interesting story about a woman who had to spend a fortune to deprogram her daughter after she got a college degree at a woman's college. This is a crazy story. You got to hear this. This is coming up next right here on the Heidi Harris Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.